Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. How does TV affect kids' behavior? This is Your Brain on Television. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom for day two of our newsworthy clips this month. Today is July 23rd, and I'm Naomi in the studio with Josh and Bill. We're glad that you're back to join us in our discussion. This should be a very fascinating and educational day because we're talking about TV habits and how they affect kids. So my first question for today is, what were your TV habits as a child? Bill?
Well, when I was a kid, I just remember watching TV with my brother, and we would watch cartoons, of course. And we would watch it after school when we came home. And it was 4 or 5 in the afternoon when we did that, or on Saturday mornings. And there would be some other TV shows, usually comedy shows that mm-hmm. we watched, just silly shows.
Do you remember your favorite?
Yeah, I like the Three Stooges. That was one of my favorites. And then there was also there was the Munsters.
Oh yeah,
and Gilligan's Island.
Nice.
Yeah, those programs. They were totally silly and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it explains a lot of my behavior today.
Okay. Well, also back with us, Josh.
Hi, Naomi.
What was your favorite show as a kid?
I liked live-action shows. I wasn't into cartoons at all, even from a young age. I think really early on, it was The Little Rascals.
Mm.
Remember them, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
Spanky
a good one.
Spanky and Darla.
Yeah.
Alfalfa.
Alfalfa,
yeah.
Sure. I thought just their life looked a lot of fun.
How about your TV habits?
And I could choose two programs as a kid per week to watch. So I spent a lot of time studying the TV guide and deciding how I was going to spend my time and choose wisely on those two shows.
Well, it's a tough decision. That's a lot of pressure.
Right. Yeah, how about you?
We had limits as well. I think we were allowed half an hour a day if we had finished our homework. So that did not happen every day. But when it did, I guess there were a couple of shows that I remember watching during the week, but mostly we would save up our time for Saturday mornings and watch cartoons all morning, eat, the sugary cereal that we were only allowed on the weekends. And I remember a favorite being a show called Captain Planet. It was an environmental cartoon.
Oh, wow.
About kids who joined together and by their powers combined could save the planet Earth from all the danger and destruction, pollution. So that was me and my sister's favorite. Very educational, but I will say there was some violence in it. There was a lot of fighting, a lot of beating up the bad guys. And that's part of what we're touching on today. When kids see that kind of behavior on the TV screen, how does it influence them? Bill, one of your favorites was a little controversial as well.
Yeah, I mentioned the Three Stooges that I really liked, and it was just a really silly show. But there was actually some controversy with it because it was fairly violent. These three guys were constantly beating each other up. They were hitting each other on the head with hammers, or they'd drop bricks from the top of a building onto each other's heads. Or
poke each other's eyes.
Yeah, they were like hurting each other, and it was meant as slapstick comedy. However, you couldn't do this to another person. You'd be hurting the people.
Right, right. Were you ever tempted to try it with your brother or something?
we were able to separate the fantasy of the TV from the reality. However, we would imitate each other, mm-hmm. but we would hold off on the full force. For instance, like slapping the other guy on the head, right? The Three Stooges would do that. We would kind of act like we were doing it, but we wouldn't follow through.
Okay. Yeah. So you're pretty careful.
Yeah.
You reminded me of a show that I did like a lot when I was a little bit older that I don't think I'll let my boys watch, which was wrestling. And that was, and still is, extremely fake entertainment. But when you're young, you don't know that.
Right.
And my sister and I, and she's bigger than I am, but we would literally wrestle each other after watching 30 minutes of, you know, two guys in a ring leaping on each other and throwing chairs at each other.
Do you let your boys watch TV?
They do. They do watch a lot of TV. And that's why I think the study has been very interesting. And I think we, my wife and I, are both very busy. And the boys take a lot out of us. And television is very easy to give yourself a break by letting them just sit and watch and be quiet for an hour.
That makes sense. I don't have kids, but I've babysat, and I know I know the power of the television to keep kids quiet and entertained and happy.
Yes.
You know, and so it's a challenge, I think, to try to cut down the hours that a kid sits in front of the box.
Yeah, it's very tempting to just use the television as the babysitter to give the adult a break.
So how do we make sure that kids' TV habits are healthy for them and helping them, not hurting them? Let's find out as we begin on page 35.
Modifying kids' TV habits may improve behavior. Want to improve your preschooler's behavior? Be choosy when it comes to the television shows they watch, even if you don't reduce the amount of time they spend watching them, a study finds. In one of the largest studies yet to examine how modifying television content affects the development of young children ages 3 to 5, researchers report that 6 months after families reduced their kids' exposure to aggressive and violence-filled programming and increased exposure to enriching and educational programming, even without changing the number of viewing hours, kids demonstrated statistically significant improved behavior compared to children whose media diet went unchanged. And the improvements, declines in aggression and being difficult, and increases in healthy social behaviors, such as empathy, helpfulness, and concern for others, persisted at 12 months, says the study involving 565 families in pediatrics. Overall, the amount of television viewed did not decrease, but all kids' behavior improved, and low-income boys, who tend to watch the most TV, benefited the most, says study author Dimitri Christakis at Seattle Children's Hospital.
So when it comes to watching TV, you might consider modifying your kids' TV habits. Now, if we modify something, what does that mean?
Well, it means we change them. And in this case, changing their habits, meaning how much TV and what programs do they watch.
Okay, so we start once again with a question.
Want to improve your preschooler's behavior?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Every parent says, yes, please. I've heard that the twos are really the terrible ones, but 3 to 5 can be challenging.
Exactly. No, the twos were easy. It's been 3, 4, and 5 has been really tough with us and our younger guys. So preschooler, that age of 3 to 5 years old, is just a really challenging time.
Okay. So what is the secret?
Well, you need to be choosy when it comes to the television shows they watch. So we'll get into the amount of time. But first, you need to draw boundaries and you need to set limits. Hey, you can't watch this one. Maybe it's too violent, whatever. You can't watch that one. You can watch this one.
Okay, so be choosy. Be particular. Mm-hmm. Be very specific about what they're allowed to watch and what they're not. Even if what?
Well, even if you don't reduce the amount of time they spend watching TV. And that's been, I guess, a fallacy of parents thinking, oh, I don't really care what they watch, but let's make sure they don't watch too much.
Right. Parents seem to be mostly concerned with making sure that kids don't spend an entire evening or an entire morning sitting in front of the TV.
I'm wondering, Josh, have you, like, when you've done this, when you've drawn boundaries on what they can watch or how much they can watch, did the kids protest? Did they complain? Oh, what do you mean, Dad? Of course, they did complain, right?
Yes, of course. They're excited when they first get to watch it. But yes, as soon as you remind them that they're only watching one show, you become the bad guy.
So
what did you do?
Yeah.
Well, you find, you know, ways. It's been tough. We don't want to make TV this huge deal either, that they feel like it's so special
right.
and worshiping the television. So we're actually trying to focus less on you've had your one show of the day, that's what you got, and if they've been good, letting them watch more than one and making sure we get out of the house for a couple hours afterwards. Because it's really a lot about the energy that they come away with after watching a show.
Right. Okay. So it turns out that that may not be a bad idea, because this focus on only one half hour, only one show, you know, that may be a little misplaced. We continue on line 10, explains that this is one of the largest studies yet to examine this topic.
Yeah, we're examining how modifying television content, the material that we're viewing, that affects the development of young children ages 3 to 5. So how do we change the content, what they are watching?
Right. Researchers report that 6 months after families reduce their kids' exposure, to certain kinds of programs. So families decide that they are not necessarily going to cut down on hours of TV, period, but rather change the quality of the programming. And what exactly are they changing here?
Well, they're reducing the exposure to aggressive and violence-filled programming. And when you reduce someone's exposure, it's just how much they see of something. The word expose is in there, which means to be revealed, to be shown. And kids, not just on television, but all across the media landscape, are exposed to violent imagery.
Right. We call it programming here.
Yeah. Programming is actually the, you know, those are the shows that are broadcast on television. So we just see program as a singular thing, programming being the group.
Right.
I like the differentiation they have there in line 14. It's not just about violence, where you think guns, shooting people, explosions. It's also just simple aggression, that so many of the superhero shows and good guy, bad guy shows, there may not be killing, but there's just still that sense of go get them and, you know, gotta push them around and get in their face. And kids, there's certainly an effect I've seen on my youngest son in his response to aggressive programming.
Mm. Okay, so what they need to do in this case is not necessarily cut out TV, but rather replace TV. And what's the substitute?
Well, we see here, let's replace this stuff with enriching and educational programming.
So, ooh, no.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk in English.
Yeah. And not only do we change the content to enriching an educational program, but we can do it without changing the amount of time.
Right. So if you switch off the superheroes and put on Sesame Street, you know, kids are going to, well, we find out in a minute. They report that 6 months after families make this switch, they try to change the content of what the kids are viewing. What happened to the kids?
Well, they demonstrated statistically significant improved behavior. And I'd love to see these statistics and how exactly they quantified good behavior and bad behavior. But in this case, it sounds like a quantitative study where they kept track of maybe how much backtalking or how much rudeness or violence that the kids showed after watching these shows. And this enriching and educational programming affected their behavior for the positive.
Right. We'll get a little more into the details of that in a moment, but basically their behavior improved compared to children whose media diet went unchanged. I think that's a really fun way to put it.
I like that. I like the fact that they used diet. It's what they consumed. What did you take in your diet? Instead of not just hamburgers, french fries, and a salad, but what types of programs?
We don't think of our media consumption as being a diet. I mean, we don't usually think of these things really entering into us, becoming a part of our system. We think, well, we just see it and then we move on with our life, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, it's amazing. We don't realize how things like this impact us. If we are constantly exposed to certain types of TV programs or movies or in today's world, certain internet games or gadget games that are violent, if we keep exposing ourselves to that and taking it in, then it actually becomes our essence.
There's a magazine I've read for years called Adweek in the States that has a section called Media Diet, and they interview celebrities or influencers or business leaders, and they ask him, what's your media diet? Mm-hmm. Write down a list for us of how much, where do you consume media, what devices do you use, and what are your favorite channels or websites?
Okay, so it is a diet, and to me this points again to a bigger picture. Whether you're a parent or not, thinking about your media diet might be a really good idea. And maybe you're not convinced yet. You're seeing this, okay, these kids were improved in their behavior. Well, how? Let's keep going. What were these improvements?
Well, we see declines in aggression and being difficult. I'm going to stop right there. So the, there were lower levels of being aggressive, usually with their siblings. That's where it comes out a lot. Or being difficult toward their parents, not wanting to listen to the parents. Well, these two things lowered.
Right. And it could be at preschool as well, interacting with their classmates and their teachers there. So declines in these negative things and increases in what?
Well, social behaviors that were positive, such as empathy, helpfulness, and concern for others.
What's empathy?
Well, that's when you feel a relation to someone else who's in pain or connect to their emotional state.
Okay. So basically being more aware of other people, caring more about other people. It sounds good. And these improvements, were they kind of momentary? Like they worked out pretty well for half an hour after they turned off the TV?
Now, we see the word there persisted and actually means it continued on for 12 months. So this behavior stayed with these children for a long time. That's a year. Mm-hmm. And that is according to this study. It did involve 565 families.
Okay, so the study was featured in Pediatrics magazine. And this is a big study. I'm impressed with the numbers. I'm sure it was a challenge to find enough families willing to participate in this study. But I bet the families are glad they did because they're reaping the benefits of this replaced diet.
Well, it didn't mention if the kids are talking to their parents anymore after 6 months of Sesame Street and educational programming. But because I think taking away superhero shows at my house would be a tough order. But we have limited it. We've tried to swap out some of it with more enriching programming. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to compete with Batman.
Well, sure. I think it is interesting, though. I would wonder if, if as a kid your parents say, okay, no more Batman. You have to watch, Let's Talk in English. Well, some of the kids are going to be like, well, forget it. I just won't watch TV in that case. I don't want to learn, But we see that actually this must be appealing to the kids once they get used to it.
Yeah. Now, the next paragraph, we see that the amount of television viewed did not decrease. So they weren't dieting by like fasting on television. They just changed their diet.
Yeah, so the replacement shows must have not been all that bad because they kept watching, right?
Right, and we see the kids, all the kids' behavior improved. And here is really interesting. They break this down into a different demographic. They're including low-income boys.
Mm. And this is a demographic, part of society where you will notice a lot of serious issues. This is where gang violence is most likely to occur and other issues like that. And so to hear something so positive related to this particular group, it's exciting.
Yes, oftentimes they have parents, whether it's a single parent or two parents who work. So the kids are home alone for hours and hours in the afternoons after school, and they're just watching TV for 4, 5, even 6 hours a day in a lot of these homes. And we're seeing that their behavior improved as well.
In fact, it improved the most. When they made this swap, they changed what they watched. They really got more benefits than anyone else. So this is according to the study author. It's very exciting, and we'll learn more about the reasons behind this in our next reading.
Young children learn by imitating what they see, and for preschoolers, a lot of what they see is on TV. The American Academy of Pediatrics discourages TV and other media use by children under age 2 and says it should be limited to less than 2 hours a day for older children. Although this innovative study shows changing content without changing viewing time helps lower aggression, other health issues may need to be approached in different ways, says Jennifer Manginello, an associate professor at the University of Albany School of Public Health. For instance, studies have shown that reducing screen time can be helpful when trying to reduce the risk for obesity, says Manginello, who recommends that parents consider both screen time and content when they can.
Okay, well, why is this helping kids so much? Swapping out the TV diet from unhealthy, aggressive, violent-filled programming to this more educational and enriching programming. What is really going on behind all of this?
Well, young children learn by imitating what they see. And for preschoolers, so much of what they see is on the television.
Right. And I know a lot of parents figure this out quickly with their second child, because second children tend to pick up certain skills faster than the first one because they imitate their older siblings. Right?
That's right. And they also get exposed to things so much earlier because their older sibling is doing it.
Right.
And so they're on the iPad faster or playing video games faster. And oftentimes that content they're not quite ready for.
Sure. So a lot of what kids see is on TV. And so, of course, they start to imitate what they're looking at. Well, we continue with the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is behind the pediatrics journal that we just mentioned that ran this study.
Right. Pediatrics, of course, being the medical practice of following children, addressing children's issues, pediatrics. They discourage TV and other media use by children under age two. I'm going to underline there for everybody, other media use also.
Yeah. Yep. I know a lot of parents who do allow their 2 years and under kids to watch a little bit of TV. But, yeah, I think it makes you think, should they really be doing that?
Right.
Well, the reason I underlined other media use too, not only TV, which we're talking about here, is I know many parents that will have their 1 or 2 year old, because another babysitter now is the iPad or other tablet.
Yep.
And then that's just, they're not really monitoring that either.
Right. So is it wrong for kids under the age of two to look at TV at all? Well, according to this organization, they're saying try not to do it at all. And when it comes to kids who are older than two, what's their rule?
Well, they say limit it to less than 2 hours a day, which for some kids would sound like a lot if they got to watch 2 hours a day. But for some kids, like I mentioned, they're watching 4, 6, maybe even more a day.
Yeah. Okay, now we hear next from Jennifer Manganello, and she's an associate professor at the University of Albany School of Public Health. What does she think about this study?
Well, she says here on line 16, although this innovative study shows changing content without changing viewing time helps lower aggression, other health issues may need to be approached in different ways. So there's several things within this quote here. First, she says this innovative study shows changing content. So changing the material that they're watching, that is so, you know, important. Without changing the viewing time, it's okay.
Right. Yeah. She's saying, yes, they did do something new with this study, and it is a different way of looking at it. And that's great, you know, that it doesn't affect the aggressive side, not diminishing the hours. In other words, if you watch the same amount of TV and you end up healthier, great. However,
yes, it's not going to be the cure-all of other problems that young kids might face, such as learning disabilities, or in the next paragraph she talks about obesity. And she says that reducing screen time in that case, regardless of what they're watching, gets kids out more and more active and helps them reduce their risk of obesity.
Right. And this is a big problem in America and around the world, where a lot of kids are more sedentary than they used to be. They don't move around as much. And so they are gaining weight because they're just moving less.
Well, and in fact, when I look at that 2 hours that we mentioned up there in line 18, actually many studies in the United States that I have read have shown the number of the hours for TV watching for children is far greater. We're talking 5-6 hours a day, which is it's a ridiculous number, and it's no wonder that they do have such problems with obesity or aggression.
Right. So Jennifer Manganiello is saying, well, I want to recommend that parents consider both screen time and content whenever they can. If it's at all possible to monitor both of these things, try to do that. That being said, you know, maybe just less aggressive TV. If you're going to park your kid in front of the television, at least be picky about what they watch.
And we're all for 6 consecutive hours of Let's Talk in English.
There you go.
No problems there.
But it's good to point out that on the bottom of the page, we see that there's a separate pediatrics report that was published from New Zealand. And what happened?
Researchers found that the more television watched during childhood and adolescence, the greater the risk of having a criminal conviction, a diagnosis of antisocial personality disorder, or more aggressive personality traits as an adult.
Okay, so more TV equals 3 potential problems, according to this study. Can you explain the first one, Josh?
Well, it says the greater risk of having a criminal conviction, and that would mean that you were found guilty of a crime that would then go on your record for the rest of your life.
Right, so they're more likely to break the law. What's the second one?
Antisocial personality disorder, and that can take many, many forms, particularly maybe an inability to control anger in certain situations, an inability to communicate with strangers. So it can manifest in many ways.
Right. And finally?
Aggressive personality traits as an adult, which means, like you just said, expressing anger and not being able to control the aggressive side of your personality.
Which is fascinating because we just found out that replacing the TV with better content should prove to help kids be less aggressive, but that may not pay off in the long run. More TV may still lead to these issues.
Right. And again, this goes back up to that societal level, which we talked about up in line 6, as far as the impact on low-income boys. Mm-hmm. So it really needs to be looked at and say, hey, how can we have a positive impact there?
Yeah. And again, if you have kids, this, I'm sure, will give you a lot of food for thought. But even if you don't, remember that your media diet does affect your behavior and it does affect your thought patterns. So pay attention. Maybe consider setting some guidelines for yourself as well. Let us know what you decide on. And we'll see you again here tomorrow for our final newsworthy clip.